Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which today was the sun and fun capital of the world, this is Dr. John Stamey saying welcome to the one, the only ScaryCast. We're so glad to have everyone with us. We've got an exciting show, we've got a lot of great things to talk about, and we've got a great panel of experts and a great guest, an interesting guest, who I will introduce in just a moment. First of all, from the scariest town in Georgia. I believe it's more scary than Savannah. From what I've heard from Augusta, the one and only Chris Chastain, Bigfoot experiencer. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
I'm absolutely great, John, and you might be right. And I don't typically go to those areas of town, but happy to be here. My favorite.
I'm not talking about those bad areas. I'm talking about this. It's a scary town. You got a lot of ghosts there, and we got to look.
No,
we got to look
at
doing
talking
some
about.
Kind of. An,
that's pardon? What I'm talking about, especially at dark. Chris ain't going to those areas alone after dark.
Okay, that's all right. Well, I've got to get down there. We got to explore some. We got to figure out if ScaryCast can produce one of its phenomenal events down there, and I think it would be a blast. I think we would actually draw from Savannah, and I think I can get some people from Tennessee, because you're not that far from Tennessee, and you're right next to Georgia. Well, I mean, you're right next to all of Georgia, right? Let's say that. So anyway, we'll talk about that later.
You come on over, bring Robin, and then I'll go to those scary haunted locations with you after dark.
Okay, if I bring Robin, now I'm going to have to bring a big bag of groceries, because we're all going to cook up some Key West Sloppy Joes.
All right, well, I'm going to pack me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but you bring it on.
Okay, we'll do it. Well, thanks, glad you're here. And the world traveler, and I think he was just on a boat tonight, Dr. Trey Dunaway, our Surgeon General. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, great, John. No, well, I was on a boat. I wouldn't call it world traveling. I had a meeting across to a friend who lives across Lake Watery, and it's just easier for me to take the boat over there than to drive. So I was traveling the world of Lake Watery, South Carolina.
I love it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lake Watery is a mighty scary place. I don't know if you remember, but I've got one of my more famous Lizard Man stories that takes place in Buck Creek, which is a little tributary of Lake Watery. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yeah. Now, I tell you what, it's scary right now because Duke Power has dropped the water level about 6 feet. They're doing some dam work for the next, I don't know, 18 months total, I think, forever. And when you're cruising around the lake, if you're on the edges of the lake, you got to make sure you don't run into stumps that are now exposed after a 6 foot drop. But I made it unscathed across the lake tonight. So before dark fell. So that was good.
Well, we're glad you did, and we're so super glad to have you here. And our guest tonight is normally a co-host. But we have been doing some talking, and he had me on his podcast, his show. It's on It's on YouTube, and we had a grand time. And I said, Dr. Mulder, why don't we try to have one more show here about radionics, because it's a fascinating topic and all that. So tonight, our guest is normally a co-host, Dr. Brad Mulder from Parts Unknown up in the mountains of North Carolina / South Carolina. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Brad?
I am doing fantastic. I'm glad to see that all my friends showed up tonight here, minus a good friend of ours, Robin. But I tell you, everything's going great, and it's just I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do tonight here, what other different way of tackling this wonderful world of radionics.
Right, that's right. And now Robin McCray, so that everyone knows, is on special assignment for a short while. Somewhere truly in Parts Unknown, we won't divulge that, but she's on special assignment and weaving her magic. Would you say so, Brad?
I would say she's probably working overtime.
I know she is. We got lots of people going lots of places, and it's exciting. Anyway, so last week, it was, I believe, Friday night. That's when I was your guest on your podcast, correct?
I think it was Saturday evening, but it doesn't make any difference. Every day is the same day for me.
Okay.
Every day is
Saturday. Like, I know what you mean. Every day is a Monday for me and all that. And, of course, it decided to rain today, rain cats and dogs, but it didn't stop us life insurance agents from getting our clients and taking care of them. So that was good. Anyway, yeah, it was great. We talked about a couple of things, and I wanted to quickly review those for everybody. I talked a little bit about the science of intent. And intent is something that I believe was first chronicled in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It's on page 13 for everyone to see, pages 13 and 14. And there he talks about, if your intent is strong enough and focused enough, you will have a good start in achieving your goals. Now, I truly believe that because I think the brain is the greatest supercomputer of all. And so if you know what you're going, what you intend to do, and I'll say that intent is different than saying, I wanna or I'm gonna. Intent means you intend to do it and you're focusing your brain. Also, what you're doing is you are, in a sense, harnessing the reticular activating system in your brain to help you filter out things that aren't important and focus on things that are important, making your thoughts stronger. Now, Dr. Trey Dunaway, I know that may be a fairly simplistic view, but that's a little bit like what we have talked about, how the reticular activating system, it's the size of a number two pencil, and it starts in your brainstem and goes on up. And that's kind of what it does. It filters out things that aren't important and brings into focus things that are important. Am I correct?
John, it's been a long time since neuroanatomy and neurophysiology for me, but I do know it's part of the lizard brain, so it's primitive, but it still has a large effect on our brain function and our behavior.
Right, it does, and I've done a good bit of studying on it. I've got, of course, I was talking with our friend John LeMay, who's going to be back next month. John has been on hiatus for about 3 months. He's been working on what do you think he's been doing? He's been working on two books at the same time. So he's been very, very busy. But, you know, even he agrees that filter is very important. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday and today. It was great catching up with him and finding out about the great new books that he's working on. And he's going to be talking about them probably the latter part of August. So it'll be good to have John back. He's just a great guy and a very exciting guy. And he's got some interesting things to talk about, and he and I are discussing a joint project. We were going to do one, but we decided that this new one might be a little bit better. and it has to do in the area of growing up haunted. Because, and I'll just give everybody a quick preview. People have come on our show and talked about ghost stories when they were kids, and that's one thing. But UFO experiences while they're kids are far different, and they seem to have, like, a lasting effect. I mean, you can ask Robin McRae. You can ask me. You can ask John LeMay. You can ask our Attorney General, Marshall Biddle. I mean, you know, these UFO experiences really can change your life, unlike just a ghost story can scare you. So we're looking at some things like that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's something a little different that truly no one's done, and I think it'll be great. So, yes, we here at ScaryCast are doing a lot of interesting research. In fact, Dr. Brad Mulder and I are working on a project. We're working on a book project. We've got due out the end of September. Aren't we, Dr. Mulder?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And I think this thing's starting to evolve a little bit. The premise was a double slit experiment based upon a particular belief system. And I think the way this thing's progressing, it's going to evolve into something even better than we originally thought.
Right, but we'll also cover the double slit experiment. So I just wanted to get a little plug in there for ScaryCasters and some of the research that we're doing, because it's really a lot of fun. And of course we're running our conferences and things like that. So anyway, back to the idea of focus. Dr. Wayne Dyer wrote a book called The Power of Intention. He has an entire book on how intention can really color how your mind works, how everything works around you, and it can, it's like the power of positive. It's honestly not a lot different than the power of positive thinking, and that comes from W. Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill. So those topics seem to be kind of interwoven with intent. So the next part of the puzzle is, how do you focus on intent? And how can you amplify it? Well, there are those of us who are devotees of radionics believe that radionics machines act like a little bit of a transmitter. You program them. They're programmed. They have a programming language. They have 9 dials that you program. They have an input, and they have an output. And I've proven, at least to myself on 2 occasions in the last 2 months, that my intent in three particular areas has really been magnified in how I've had some successes where I might not have had those successes normally. So I believe I'm 3 out of 3. And Dr. Brad Mulder, you're a little more than 3 out of 3 in terms of these little radionics devices.
Yeah, I would say thousands.
Thousands, that's right. And you know what? Heretofore, they have not been that easy to find. I mean, you could go online and find one for $4,000 or $5,000, but not all of us have $4,000 or $5,000 to spend. So there's a small company called Psionic Research that offers these things for as little as $200, $300, standard model $500, up to $1,000, and they're just killing it. They're a fine little company, aren't they, Professor Mulder?
Seeing as I, am the owner of said company and also the sole manufacturer with a little contracted help on the side to keep me from going absolutely crazy, I would say it's a fine, small, solely owned enterprise.
It is, and it's what got me in there. I've got 3 of these things, and I'm getting ready to get 2 more, because what I do is whenever I have a project that I think is important, I have a machine dedicated to it. Now, some people would say it is not only my intent, but it's just me believing that it works, and it works. But I'll tell you what, that's certainly not the worst thing, but I'm convinced that there's some things going on. Like, and I mentioned this on Saturday night, when I talk to clients, because I wanted one to help me with my insurance business, because the insurance business is really tough right now because of the economics and everything. And it seems as though it is easier to talk to people than it ever has been, even in these trying times. And, you know, my sales volume has improved when I think everyone else's except one person's has declined. So, and I'm just a regular guy out there doing the same things. I'm not changing anything that I'm doing, but things are going better. Now, I guess the first question that I have for you is scientific, because you know the construction of these things. I don't. But why do you think, without giving away, you know, lots of secrets and things, why do you think a little box that's about 8 inches by 8 inches by 2 inches seems to amplify intent, or at least give the owner the feeling that their intent is being amplified, and it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy? Can you address that issue?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, we all have our – I mean, if you talk to many different people, they'll give you many different explanations as to why they think it works. I mean, and even the master, the guy that I was basically – I was lucky to be sort of a protege of his, you know, even he could not give a straight answer as to why he thought they worked. And here's the thing that kind of gets me, and yes, one of the main components of this of these devices, besides variable resistors, is a quartz crystal. And I think we discussed before that quartz crystal is a storage medium. They use it all the time in electronics, you know, and there have been experiments by major electronic companies showing the store, you know, how much data can be stored on a small piece of quartz. And so, again, they're storage mediums. Okay, now here's the tricky or the sticky wicket here. How are we interfacing? How is a human being interfacing with the mechanism that's inside this machine? How is it interfacing? All right, that question I think is pretty simple. I don't know. Did I ever tell you guys about pumping chi? Did we do that experiment a long time ago where you could, like, have your hands one above the other, palms facing, and you can rotate one hand, and you start feeling a magnetic field between your two hands? Did we discuss that?
No.
It's chi energy. It's basically life force.
I think you discussed it when you got pulled over for a traffic ticket.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Tell that story again for people that might not have been listening.
Okay.
Or Dr. John who didn't remember.
Okay.
You're too busy selling insurance, John.
I know.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. This is kind of a go-to little deal for me, and I was able to project my intent, and there's that magic word for the night, intent, into my reality. All right. Cop pulls me over. I'm going like 13 miles over the speed limit. It's sort of a speed trap anyway. State trooper, yada, yada, yada. Rolled down the window. He's on the passenger side because, you know, it's sort of a busy road. He's on the passenger side. I roll down the window. He says, can I have your, you know, your license and your registration and insurance card? I said, no problem. Had everything there. Pulled it right out. Gave it to him. And I asked him, so what's going on? He said, son or sir, why are you in a hurry? I said, well, I had some business over in Dahlonega. Now, honestly, I wasn't paying attention to my speed. And he said, oh, okay. And so while he's going back to the to his squad car, which I know is places it really is. It is probably a main financial resource for that county. All right, all these state troopers out there. And I mean, I know I'm about ready to get a ticket, I'm thinking. All right, so I do the old pump and chi thing, and I create this energy field between my two hands. And, again, anybody can do this. It's like it feels like magnetic energy. Is what it feels like, a magnetic force between your two hands. All right, as I'm doing that, I am mentally projecting my thought into that magnetic field, into that little ball of energy I'm creating, and I'm saying, I don't give me a ticket. Don't give me a ticket. Let me go about my way. Let me go about my way. And I'm just saying this to myself, projecting that thought, projecting that outcome, and then I kind of strategically fling it back toward the back of me, toward the squad car, where the highway patrolman's there doing whatever it is he's doing. Well, I'm sitting here, thinking, okay, let's see what happens here. I really don't want the ticket. I really don't want the points. All right, the guy comes back up to me. He gives me my driver's license. He gives me my all my other papers, and he says, "Well, sir, you have a good night, and don't watch your speed." And I said, "Okay." And the man did not even give me a written warning. He just let me go about my way, and that was it. And that was my little, real life story of how I did this. Now, while we were telling that story, I was doing this. I was rotating my hands above. I was tucking chi as we were doing this. I can feel that magnetic field as we're talking. All right, and again, it's a very simple thing to do. I've been practicing this probably for about 10, maybe 12 years now, and more times than not, you'll be surprised. I mean, getting phone calls, business-wise, people. Or getting that parking spot in front of the supermarket, that kind of a thing. Just little minor life things. And also, I have used this when I have a machine that's on my wall here. I have over 100 machines that are operating on all types of different things for me. All right, I will find a machine that I know that operation's been completed. I can create that energy field, project it toward that machine, and as far as I'm concerned, the thing has already been set. I've already set the thing mentally by projecting my energy toward that machine and go about my business, and it will manifest itself. It's as if I had physically turned the dials on that machine. Now, did the machine play a part in this scenario, and I could have done this without the machine? I've proven that I can. Do I think that the machine, by projecting energy into it and by the crystal storing that energy and that intent and circulating because of the nature of the circuit, running that energy through the circuit constantly over and over and over again. And as it does this, it builds up, and it's projecting itself into reality, into the fabric of reality, using what I consider the double slit experiment type of changes. In other words, observation changing physical things, changing a reality. And do I think I can do this without the machine? Sure. Can I do it with the machine and make it a lot easier for me with a lot better results? Heck yeah. Because it is an extension of my consciousness.
Okay. That's interesting. I've got an observation I want to make to Dr. Trey Dunaway. Let me complete my paragraph. It's going to sound terrible, but you're going to see exactly where I'm coming from. A week ago Friday night, I had been a bad guy, and I had not renewed one of my blood pressure medicines for about 2 weeks, and I was feeling terrible, and I really was afraid. It's the first time in a long time that I've been afraid, and I said, well, heck, I pay insurance. I'm going to go to the hospital anyway. So as I'm driving to the hospital, I start feeling better because I know I'm going to the hospital and I'm going to see a qualified doctor. So I'm starting to feel better already. My blood pressure, I feel, starts going down on the anticipation of getting some good care. Now, have you ever had people say, I mean, I know that you as a surgeon, you could not cure everything, but you cured many things for many people, correct?
Sure.
And did people ever tell you that they just felt better by coming to you before you started doing anything to them? It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Did they ever tell you that they already felt better when they were just in there with you and you were checking them out and trying to figure out what was wrong with them?
No, usually not. nobody likes a surgeon until they need them. And most of the time when you go to a surgeon's office, you don't feel great about it. And I've had people with higher blood pressure when they first come in the door, and then we repeat it after they get used to it, and we tell them what's going to go on. And, you know, it's more than likely they're going to survive. No guarantees, mind you, but more than likely they're going to survive. You know, you say good bedside manner, things like, well, we haven't bumped off anybody in 3 days, so we're doing pretty good this week, you know. And then their blood pressure will drop. But certainly your mind does have a control over certain functions of your body. However, I don't know if your blood pressure improved, John, unless you're on a monitor that was doing serial blood pressure readings. You might feel better, but then again, I don't know if the reason you were feeling bad was because your blood pressure was up or down. Was it up or down when you checked into the doctor?
It was way up here at the house. But then as I drove there, I said, you know, this is great because they're going to take care of me. I'm not as scared as I got over my fear as I was driving. I mean, just so that everybody knows, I live right next door to Conway Hospital. And it was like a godsend. It took me 5 minutes to get there. But just going there, I started feeling better. And I got there, they took my blood pressure, and it was already lower. I hadn't done anything. But I just knew, I just anticipated that I was going to get some good medical care, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what crazy thing was going on. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's taken me about 2 weeks to get better from that little episode.
I think if you were fearful when you were driving over, yes. Or if you're fearful before you drove over, that certainly could potentiate your blood pressure. And if you started to relax because you figured, well, they're going to fix me, then if your fear is less, then I wouldn't be surprised if your blood pressure didn't drop based on that alone.
Right.
Although,
well,
of course,
I mean, that's
John,
what I'm saying.
It would be better if you didn't run out of your medication and you just took it as directed, which would best way to deal with that. But
I promised Dr. Armstrong I would get an appointment with a family doctor and I would get it renewed, and I've got my appointment first the next week. So just believe me, I made good my promise. But still, I just started feeling better because I knew I was going to get treatment, and regardless of what it was, I figured, well, they can probably fix it. And I'm just, what I'm saying, I guess it's my perception that because my fears were subsiding, my blood pressure did start getting better. It was like off the charts when I left here. It was like 210 over 170. And when I got there, it was about 190 over 150. Yeah, it was. And then it was 190 over 150. The nurse said, that's really high. I said, oh my goodness, it is. I lied. I didn't want to say what it was before I left the house.
Probably best to do that. Yeah.
Right. I thought my blood pressure machine was broken, but apparently it wasn't. So anyway, and also I have been to doctors when I've gotten medicine prescribed for something like an antibiotic, and I felt like it was going to make me feel better. And I honestly, maybe I'm just a crazy dude, but it honestly started making me feel better before I went and got the prescription filled. So
that is not surprising because there are known placebo effects. I can give you a sugar pill, and if I tell you it's going to miraculously drop your blood pressure, there's a pretty good chance that in a certain number of people it will drop your blood pressure because of that placebo effect. So I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't drop if you had a positive thought about it and you thought somebody was going to give you something to help you.
Yeah. Okay. The placebo effect, I feel kind of ashamed that I was part of that, but still I think that
not at all. That is normal. I mean, it's statistically shown to be effective. So it works for however it works. Who knows how it works?
That's right. Because
that's the mind-body connection that we really don't know much about.
Right.
But it's
now, as you told me this story a couple times about the fact that you recommended someone to an acupuncturist, they were able to cure something that traditional Western medicine wasn't able to because it had a whole different set of tricks. And
I've seen that stuff work, and I mean, I was totally. I'm a Western medicine guy, but you can't argue with results.
That's right, and that's what I like about Dr. Trey Dunaway is you're very much a results oriented guy. If it works for the patient, that's what you want. And
if you swing a dead cat around the top of your head, scream like a chicken at midnight in a graveyard, and it produces the results you want, then, hey, there you go.
But now, hurting the cats now, y'all, that's frowned upon. I just want to put
no,
it out
it's
there.
A dead cat. It's already a predeceased cat. It wasn't one that or had
building
around
alive.
Yes. You go to the dead cat store and you buy one, maybe, or wherever
I
you
think.
Take
okay.
From. I'm not sure. Yes. We are not advocating any harm to cats.
Okay.
I'll calm back down.
There you go. Relax. Kitties are
about
okay.
The placebo effect. I'm going to write that down about the placebo effect, and I'm going to do some thinking about that and my idea of self-fulfilling prophecies. Just I think the more we explore these things, I'm going to see if there's some articles out there. I'm sure, Dr. Trey, there are some articles about the placebo effect by itself, right?
I'm sure somebody has tried to figure out why the placebo effect works. I mean, there is no doubt that you have a placebo effect. So I'm sure there have been studies. I just don't know of any of them, other than the fact that everybody in the world that goes through medicine knows there are some pretty effective placebo effects. But I will say
cool.
That, and I will also say that I don't think acupuncture is placebo effect. I think it just does something that thousands of years of Chinese medicine is aware of. You know, when you first developed the vaccine for the variolation for smallpox, they didn't understand why it worked. They just understood it did work, and it was a big mystery. Until modern virology could explain it. But that's well after the fact of the observation that what they were doing worked. We just have the explanation later. So maybe with acupuncture, there is an explanation. We're just not aware of it yet, but one day maybe we will be. Or maybe some people are already, and because I'm a Western doctor, I just am not aware of it.
Right, and I'm going to be the first person to underscore that Western medicine has kept millions of people alive, and it's a very noble cause, and there's a lot of great research that has gone into what you did as a surgeon and what they're doing today, and without it, as I said, many people would not be alive, and we really appreciate it. After being a research associate at the Ryan Institute of Parapsychology, in Durham, I guess I'm always looking for the mind, there's a mystic connection. And in fact, I had an interesting 2-day discussion with a good friend about that very thing. And we're going to be looking into some things. He's given me some topics to go through and everything. So I just think it's fascinating. And I think the more research you do, whether it's at a university or it's on your own, the better off we all are. And we'll see, you know, we'll see if we can come up with anything in that phenomenal mind-body connection. So,
right.
Chris, what do you think about our discussion? I hope you don't think they're too crazy, but what do you think about our discussions? We've talked about how radionics works. It's the power of intent. It's the self-fulfilling prophecy. It's some kind of gizmos inside there. It's some crystals. It's whatever. What do you think? Because you're a smart guy. You do paranormal research, and you're a Bigfoot experiencer. You've been out there, and you and Robin McCray has shared some things with you that I know have helped. Right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's been some paranormal things going on lately. just back to a couple of things, Dr. Mulder, I wanted to ask you about. When you were in the cop car, not in the cop car, I'm so sorry. When you were pulled over waiting for the cop to come over, you were talking about the energy, and the last time we talked about it on the show, I never could get the name because I was trying to Google it. Is it C-H-I? Is that what you're calling?
C-H-I is how I was told to spell that, you know, chi,
okay.
Energy.
And it's basically rubbing of your hands together to form
no,
like a
no
an energy
contact.
Field.
No
physical
no
contact.
No physical contact.
Okay.
No. And I'm going to tell you, and yeah, people think, oh, this is a bunch of BS. This is what proved to me that I actually was creating some type of energy field between my hands. I have a good friend of mine. This gentleman is a walking brain. He's the guy who set up the satellite system for CNN back in its heyday, back in the early 70s. He was the guy. He knew Ted Turner personally, you know, in the whole nine yards. And this guy, I think, had Inventor of the Year several times running for all, you know, for some of the things he's done. And not only that, he put together a radionics dream team of one guy was, I think, a Nobel. I wouldn't say it's a Nobel or he was nominated for the Nobel Prize in I think it was physics or something. Anyway, he was part of that team, and he was so I was talking about this energy field and how I could do this. And he said, "Look," he said, "hang on." So he went back to his laboratory. He brought back a little thing. It was a static voltmeter. Okay, the thing was about 2.5 feet from me. He said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to start pumping chi as you were before, and, you know, build it up, and then I want you to fling it toward that meter, or just that sounds like a southern way of putting it, but that's exactly what I was doing. I was flinging chi energy toward this meter." And I said, "Okay, all right, let's try this." So my top hand, your left hand, the palm facing the ceiling, right hand directly above your left hand, palm facing the floor, approximately about 1 and maybe 1.5 inches above. They're separated by 1.5 inches. Okay, and you're moving. Right now, as I'm doing this, my left hand is basically stationary, and my right hand is going in a clockwise position as we're talking.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm doing right now as we're actually doing this. Okay.
Yep, you're
now,
doing it right along
energy,
with you.
And I flip. Okay, yeah, and you'll start to feel a magnetic field between your hands. As I build up this energy, and I got to the point, I went ahead and flinged it toward the meter. You know what happened to that meter? You know what happened to the needle on that meter?
What did it do? Did it
spike all the way to the other side. All the way to the other side. No physical contact whatsoever. I couldn't blame it on static because it was a fairly humid day, and my hands were not physically touching or in contact with each other, so there's no way I could have possibly created some kind of a static field and projected it toward there. No, I merely – and it was repeatable. I did it 3 times.
Now, when you
so,
when you
that
fling it
me,
toward that meter, when you fling it toward the meter, are you using both hands or just one?
Yeah, you both hands. Like basically, you create the energy field, and then you just kind of like open your hands, palms facing the machine, and that's how you fling it. It just basically that energy is released from your hands and it's projected into the projected into whatever the situation is you're concentrating on. Now, or the target. And I did this 3 times.
Cool.
Now, yeah, so what that means is that there is an energy field around the human body. I don't know how – doctor, did they ever train you or did you ever – did anybody ever tell you when you went to medical school about an energy field around the body?
Not in medical school. Now, you know, there's –
okay, so –
there's mainstream medicine, and there are non-mainstream medicine, auxiliary treatments, and some of those have a long history of background. For instance, acupuncture, that's certainly an alternative medicine source. And there are other alternative medicine sources that are maybe looked at with a little more askance by Western physicians. So there's a variety of alternative medicines.
Okay.
But we don't
study
that
opinion.
In medical school.
Okay, but in your personal opinion, as a surgeon, as a physician, in your personal opinion, do you believe there's an energy field around the human body?
Well, because we do generate electricity in our body, I mean that's not speculative. That's real. I mean, when you do an EKG, you are measuring electrical signals that go to your skin. So there would be generation of some electrical field around the human body because we are electric generators. Our bodies do generate electrical charges. So yes, there would be. Now, whether or not people can read them or react to them or adjust them or change them, that's probably more of a debate.
Yeah, and I think you and I were discussing this up in Burnsville, something about consciousness. I think we were even talking about it on stage, and you kind of, even though you were serious, it was really humorous about that the consciousness is stored in the pancreas of all places on the body.
The pancreas is the seat of the soul to a surgeon.
Oh, the seat of the soul. Okay, all right.
Seat of the soul is the pancreas, because we really don't like to operate on them, and they will bite you in the ass in a heartbeat and just cause you all sorts of misery. Patients also don't like that misery either, but as a surgeon, the pancreas is the seat of the soul. You know, it's interesting. I was reading a biblical reading, and now, again, this is all hearsay, and I can't remember the source of it, but the 2,000 years ago, in the Jewish faith, I read where they felt the soul was the blood, which was, again, interesting. So, to a surgeon, the pancreas is the seat of the soul. Everyone knows that in surgery.
Okay. But, you know, and because the body is surrounded by an energy field, and as far as I'm concerned, I think it has consciousness to it. You and I discussed, okay, where does consciousness reside? Does it actually reside in that bag of water and cholesterol that's between our ears? Or is it is this just an organ that's basically a radio transmitter and receiver, and our consciousness resides in an energy field on the outside of the body?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know that's a deep question. I mean, that's something that goes beyond medicine, but, you know, and I think it may explain why acupuncture works. Because if I understand correctly, those needles that they put in your body, they're there to divert or attract energy. And because of this, it heals the body or heals the ailments.
I had a good friend who is an acupuncturist, and I watched him work. He died a number of years ago, but I actually got to see some of this stuff. I was just dumbfounded. And the way he put it, he said there is some science, but the way he looked at it, you know, when you've got a circuit breaker in your house that pops, you know, you're operating a power saw, and you have the refrigerator running on it, and you got the air conditioner on, and then pop, you know, you got to go reset the circuit breaker. He said the best way he could describe what acupuncture does is it switches on and off your circuit breaker for whatever you're trying to affect.
That's the only explanation
ever given to me by somebody that actually was a practitioner. And I think that's a pretty good description, that it kind of resets your circuits like a circuit breaker does, if that's real or just, I mean, you know, what does an atom look like? We've got the Bohr model, but there's other models of atoms. We don't really know what an atom looks like, but we've got models. So as far as a model goes, I kind of like the flipping the circuit breaker that's popped for acupuncture. Works for me.
So Dr. Dunaway, are you saying essentially that when something goes wrong, that can be evidenced by something that we can see, or it can hurt, and the acupuncture will essentially just reset it so that hopefully everything will just start working normally again? Is that kind of a way to say what you're saying?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to necessarily be pain. I mean, everyone knows about acupuncture, and you're going to go to an acupuncturist because you've got, you know, pain in your shoulder or whatever. But when it affects, as I have witnessed, when it affects nausea and vomiting, I mean, it's pretty darn amazing. I mean, when we've got all these drugs that we give people for nausea and vomiting, or a nasogastric tube, or all the standard treatments, man, I've seen it work on one patient that I just, it was nothing short of unbelievable. But it worked. Who would think drilling a couple of needles in your ear would affect a patient's ability to lose their nausea and NG tube that comes out, and all of a sudden they're eating a sandwich? I mean, that's just, and this is over the course of an hour, just astounding.
That's wonderful. It's just a testimony to the fact that we have science, but there's so many things we don't know, but we do have an idea how to take care of them. Like, I guess that's what acupuncture is doing. They have some evidence of how to make things happen. They do, and maybe one day we will know. I mean, I hope we do, because that would truly be a great advance for science if we figured out exactly what's going on, but I'm certainly glad it does for those who have had it and used it. So,
yeah, I mean, if it works for you, if it produces the results you're looking for and it doesn't harm you, then what the heck?
That's why, in my humble opinion, agree. Dr. Trayvon is a great doctor, because I think that is the healthiest statement that I've ever heard. So thank you on behalf of all the patients that you helped, because you really have, and I appreciate it. And the advice that you've given, the timely advice you've given me, has been nothing short of incredible, and certainly appreciate it. All right,
but ignored when it comes to taking your medicine regularly, John.
No, I'm done. I have.
I'm not going to let that one go for a while. You know, I'm going to, next time I talk to you, I'll start off my conversation with, are you taking all your prescribed medications? That's going to happen for the next 10 months at least.
John, for whatever it's worth, I've done it before too, my friend.
Yeah, well, I'll just say this. I have this terrible fear of many medical institutions and doctors. Now, you, Dr. Trey Dunaway, because I know you very well, I have no fear of what you have to say. And when this emergency room guy came in, I wasn't worried about him. The last time I was at the emergency room, I was concerned at the person that came in. But this guy was just like, he said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "We got to get you back on track." And the first thing I thought was, you know, that I like that approach. And it was just, yeah. You know, and then it was just, we were just best friends from that moment forward. And I knew it was going to be okay. He had a great bedside manner, like I've seen evidence of with you. So yeah, I just, you know, when you,
well, just
I guess
remember,
you,
John, it's always better to have we used to say it about kidneys. It's always better to have properly functioning kidneys than a smart doctor. You know,
oh my God.
sometimes even the smartest doctor can screw you up. So, you know, it's better to be naturally healthy than to have a smart doctor. But you want to find a prudent doctor. That's all.
Yeah.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So anyway, that's great, Professor Mulder. What else do you have to say?
Yeah.
We're getting we're 15 minutes from the witching hour, and so what else do you have to say? First of all, pumping chi, we're going to talk. I need to talk to you a little more about that. That's interesting. I need to do some research, and I need to get that. That's related to what we call stick. In a way, they're kissing cousin.
Yes. Well, when you get a stick, that's like a form of dousing. You know, and I think we discussed this before. I've seen it work. I know for a fact it is a real phenomenon. I cannot explain how it works exactly. No, I cannot. But I have seen it with my own eyes, just like the doctor here has seen acupuncture work. He doesn't know exactly why, but he has seen results. He has seen a cause. He has seen an effect. And that's what I've done also. Now, again, a stick is nothing more than a tactile reaction to getting the proper position on the machine. Now we kind of go back to the bare bones here. And what really, hopefully I didn't, I know I probably went off on a path here about chi energy, but there's a method to my madness. And that is, that when you are tuning these machines, when you actually are very close to them and you are projecting energy, that go back to the word intent, when you are projecting an intent into that machine, you're also projecting part of that energy field that we were discussing, part of that chi energy that's going into that circuit. And just like when I was pumping chi and trying to get myself out of the ticket, that energy had an intent to it. We cannot, it can be measured. I don't know if you can actually find out what the data is on that energy or what that energy was intended for, but it can be measured. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know it works. I know it exists. Okay. Now, with that being said, that I believe is what is going into these machines. That is the energy field that the mechanism is working with. And again, as I mentioned earlier, because the way it's set up, it amplifies that and it gets it to the point where it projects your intent into this reality, whatever the heck this thing is that we're all living and breathing in. It is able to somehow, I'm not going to, I've already discussed what my hypothesis, maybe theory, about why I think it works. Now, again, what is it? How can you – now, here's a sticky question, and I'd love to get you guys – I'd love to get your opinion on this. Say we're projecting an energy field into reality. How the heck are we able to alter things or make things create the probabilities of one thing happening over another? For example, I have used these machines to sell houses for people that were having trouble selling them. I've used it. Matter of fact, one of my first projects, just to see if I could do it, was a bank that was about ready to fail due to the incompetency of its president. And, and the Fed came in there and about ready to close it. And because this guy made some very unwise decisions business-wise for the bank. And anyway, I go through all the stuff. The Fed comes in there. They correct the mistakes. They get a new person in charge of the bank, and everything's honky-dory there. I mean, it's just little things like that. Okay, now, again, the placebo effect. We discussed this earlier, the placebo effect. What is it? Does it really exist? Heck yeah, it exists. I mean, Dr. Trey just a few minutes ago saying, yes, that is an effect. It does happen. People do not heal themselves, but they are able to get over certain problems they may have just by the sheer power of belief. All right? So that we have in play. How can an energy field that is charged when your belief that's going to work, with your intent for a certain event to happen, you throw it into the universe, and then the probability of that thing becoming a reality suddenly increases. What is it? If you guys, come up with an answer, please let me know, because I'm all ears.
Well, this is Dr. Ron, and what I'm doing... I'm sorry, who's that? Is that Chris?
That was me.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to ask because I was talking to Pat McCray about something similar about this today. I don't have the answer, of course, but I almost wonder, does your physical health have something to do with it, or the things that are in your body, meaning certain foods that are going in, certain medications, or is that causing you to be more successful than another person? Just something I wanted to throw out there.
Well, I tell you what, being a Southerner as I am, my diet is basically Cracker Barrel. Anything that Cracker mm-hmm. Barrel serves, I will probably eat some variation of that. Okay, if you want to see what my typical diet is, is that the healthiest thing in the world? I would say the healthiest thing I do is have a salad every meal, and I only eat once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
gotcha.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it at all. I really don't. Diet wise, whatever. I'm just mm-hmm. me. And again, I don't know. And that kind of made me wonder, too. You know, like, for example, Robin. And we all know that Robin's one heck of a psychic. Where did the heck did that ability come from? How come is she wired to pick up on things that the average person cannot do and cannot pick up on? What makes her unique?
Exactly.
I mean, where is it? Where's the on-off switch for this?
And how
what I
some people,
John,
some people pick it up so much quicker than others.
I think it has to do with the reticular activating system and the filter. I've thought that for about 2 years now. Trey and I had a talk about the reticular activating system a couple of years ago, and I've used that as I kind of continue to research this, and maybe, you know, the topics that we've talked about tonight, I've got them together, and they may be forming a little bit of a body of knowledge on how some of this stuff works. I'm going to start doing some research in it, and John LeMay is actually going to be kind of helpful in all this. He's a fine researcher and a fine author. Any guy that's got 46 books out on Amazon and making a good living at it knows how to do research. So, I mean, and, of course, Brad Mulder and Trey Dunaway and Chris Chastain and Robin, you know, as I pick your brains as we try to figure out what's going on. I mean, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to try to figure out how, as much as I can, how this stuff works. As Nikola Tesla said, and as I said independently, I didn't know he said it, but the speculation and magic of today is the science of the next century. You know, had someone said that there's going to be a little thing that's about a quarter of an inch thick, it looks like a 3x5 note card, and you'll be able to talk to China on it. If you'd have told them that in the year 2000, in the year 1900, they'd have said it's witchcraft. It's a cell phone. So truly, the magic of today is the science of the future. In fact, I have the book, Magic Science of the Future. I've got to find it. It's an incredible book, and it has a chapter about radionics. And it has a lot of this stuff that is speculative, but one day we will figure it out because science is marching forward. We would have never known that computer programming, which is really that's all AI is, we would have never known that computer programming would be able to do all the incredible things that it does. Now we've got to temper it a little bit because programs do exactly what you tell them to do, and sometimes this AI stuff doesn't do exactly what you want it to do, but it does what it was programmed to do. It's as simple as that. There's no other explanation. There is no AI. It's a computer program. That's all it is. And, you know, one of these days, we just need to fine-tune them. So I think science and everything is marching forward, and hopefully, Dr. Trey, we'll have some answers as to why acupuncture works. If the National Science Foundation will give some research money, it might help because they've got billions of dollars, and they tend to like to count butterflies.
John, just think if they were to give Scary Cast a grant for studying acupuncture, we could go to Asia and stay at some nice hotels and eat some great food, and we could study a little acupuncture also on our fact finding mission.
Right, but there are some licensed schools of acupuncture in the United States. We could just go to
We wouldn't have to take a private jet. Also, we could fly commercial with the cattle. If the NIH grant allowed us to have a private jet, I think that would be good too. Don't you?
Well, it would be.
You know how you felt better when you were driving to the hospital?
Yes.
Don't you think you'd feel better flying in a private jet to go on our fact-finding exploration funded by the NIH in Asia?
I don't know.
I think you would feel better just being in that private jet with snacks and stuff going on our fact-finding mission for acupuncture.
Okay.
Just a consideration. The next time you're thinking about grant writing for the NIH, something to throw to them, I guess.
Okay. But anyway, look, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. We've covered a lot of topics that seem to have some relation, and I'll do some looking into this as I have all of my extra time between selling life insurance and producing ScaryCast and writing books and putting on festivals and comic cons, because it's truly I have a wonderful life. I have the best friends, like the ones that I've got here from ScaryCast, and the great adventures that we've had a chance to go on, and we'll see what we can find out. So, Professor Brad Mulder, thank you for being here and providing the seeds for an interesting round of conversation. Dr. Trey Dunaway, thank you for all the people that you've helped using Western medicine. You've helped thousands of them. And to be here and to get your explanations and your ideas about this stuff, I think is just grand. And Chris Chastain, thank you for being with us. You're growing as you are becoming a Bigfoot experiencer. And we've got a lot more conferences to do and everything. So since it is the witching hour of 10 p.m. Eastern, I must say on behalf of the ScaryCasters here tonight, Dr. Trey Dunaway, Dr. Brad Mulder, Chris Chastain, Robin McCray on special assignment. We hope she'll be back next week. And to everybody who's listening, thank you so much for being part of ScaryCast tonight. We'll be back next week. The next 2 weeks, we've got some pretty well-known Bigfoot hunters and explorers. So those are guests that Robin has gotten for us. So we're going to have a blast as we move forward on ScaryCast. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good evening. And we'll see you next time. Same bat channel. Same bat. What is it? Same bat time, same bat channel. Good Lord, I can't even think. Thanks a lot.
Get it right. Same bat station.
Bye-bye, everybody. Say goodbye.
Good night, John.
Good night.
Don't forget to take your pills. Take your pills,
yes,
John.
Yes, sir.
All right.